This is Brent Vohine, interviewing Mr. Philip C. Burrell in Gainesville, Florida, on March 27, 1995. The subject of this interview is the 1950s. Okay, before we start this interview, Mr. Bell, would you please tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
I went to school in Baltimore, Maryland. Mm-hmm. I have a twin brother, and he and I were inseparable mm-hmm. for the first three grades of school mm-hmm. when the teachers realized that they better split us up because we were a team. What he was good in, I was bad in, and what I was good in, he was bad in. So between the two of us, we were one, and they realized they better split us. So in the fourth grade, they split us up. And from that time on, from the fourth grade on, we pretty much went our separate ways. Mm-hmm. We both attended first through sixth at number 63 elementary school in Baltimore, and then we went to Garrison Junior High School. And in the ninth grade, I went to Forest Park High School on an accelerated course, which would have given me 1 year of college at the completion of 11th grade mm-hmm. or 12th grade in high school. But I only stayed at Forest Park 1 year and then transferred to Baltimore City College, which is a high school in Baltimore. At that time, it was the third oldest high school established in the United States, Baltimore City College. Mm-hmm. When I graduated, it was 107 years old, high school. Mm-hmm. So it was all boys public school. We had around 4,000 students, all boys, at the Baltimore City College mm-hmm. High School. After completion of high school, I then went in the United States Marine Corps in 1948, July of 48, and spent a total of 8 years in the Marine Corps, mm-hmm. active duty until July 56 when I took a discharge and came out. The events in the Marine Corps that I remember distinctly was the Korean War conflict in 1950. Mm-hmm. And served in Korea from June of 1950 until September of 1951 mm-hmm. with an artillery corps observer team called the Fire Missions. September of 51, I came back from Korea and was stationed at the Marine Corps Barracks Honor Guard in Washington, D.C. at 8 to 9. That was a real experience. Mm-hmm. I was in a firing squad for funeral details. I had a firing squad. Mm-hmm. And then I was the NCO in charge of the Marine Corps Color Guard at 8 to 9. And then I was also in the Marine Corps silent drill team that they have there. So it kept us pretty much pretty busy with all the ceremonies and affairs that we went to. Mm-hmm. It was during that time in 1952, or 51, excuse me, in November 51, when I met my present wife, and she was working for the Navy Department in Washington, D.C., and we met in November and were married the following March of 1952. Right after being married, I left and went as an embassy guard in the embassy in Germany mm-hmm. in May mm-hmm. 1952. August 52, my wife joined me in Hamburg, Germany, where I was stationed. The following December, we were sent back to the States. I had done something I shouldn't have done, and I got married, and I wasn't supposed to be married, and didn't tell them. So the Marine Corps found out that I got married, and they shipped my wife and I back to the States in December of 52. From there, I went to Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, and then I was transferred from Camp Lejeune, North Carolina to Fort Monmouth, New Jersey, for a specialist school, and went to an Army Special School at Fort Mouth, New Jersey for 6 months, and then was transferred from there to Japan. Went to Japan and was with the 3rd Marine Division in Gifu, Japan, and then in June of that year, mm-hmm. of 55, I was transferred to Taniele Marine Air Station in Hawaii to form a what they call the 5th Marine Task Force, which is an infantry support tank and air battalion, ready strike battalion. Stayed there until January of 56 and was transferred from there back to Quantico, Virginia. And in July 56, I took a discharge, came out.
Mm-hmm.
Went to work with AT&T Company in Washington, D.C. as a, had a FCC license, first class radio license, which qualified me to work on and fix AT&T microwave equipment, which is a transmission of television. We handled strictly the video. We didn't handle any audio at the exchange that was in. We handled strictly the video through the microwave towers. Worked there until January of 57. Was then took a position with the National Red Cross as a head buyer and facilitator for their new communication system that they were going to put in. And it was a telecommunication system, a radio communication teletype that we're going to put in nationwide for disasters. We moved to Richmond, Virginia,
mm-hmm.
and in January of 1957, and I was a head buyer and formed that new division of the National Red Cross with 6 other people, and we built a national disaster network for radio, tele, and typewriter communication,
mm-hmm.
with mobile transportation and trailers.
Mm-hmm.
Stayed with the National Red Cross for about a year and a half, 2 years, and then made a move to another field,
mm-hmm.
and left the National Red Cross. I went with in the office machine and in their sales division for Remington,
mm-hmm.
and was with Remington Rand in sales of office equipment for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
After being with Remington Rand for a while, I bought a business in Suffolk, Virginia, and my wife and family and I moved to Suffolk, Virginia, and we had an office supply, furniture, and stationery business there. We had the business there in Suffolk for about 5 years, and I sold out.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I moved back to my wife's home in Mount Vernon, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
By that time, we had 3 children. Jeff, our oldest boy, and 2 daughters, Debbie and Pam.
Mm-hmm.
I went back to Mount Vernon. I went to work for a friend of mine in the office supply business and did all his buying for him for about a year and a half. At that point, I went on staff at a Mount Vernon Bible College,
mm-hmm.
and ran the business of the college and did all the purchasing and all the maintenance direction for the college for 2 years. Left the Bible College and went with a company by the name of C.R. Lawrence. They supply the glass industry. They're probably one of the largest in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Started with them in Ohio and was transferred to Florida after a year and a half,
mm-hmm.
Almost 2 years, and then was in Florida with C.R. Lawrence until for about 3.5 years, and then was made the regional sales manager and operations manager for the company in Atlanta, Georgia. And when we went to Atlanta, we moved to a little town called Carrollton, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point, I was there for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And after 10 years, total of 18 years with the company, I went into retirement at age 65. And here we are today.
Okay. My first question is about the Korean War. Do you feel within yourself that we belong there?
Yes, we did. We belong there, but the war was fought with politics more than from the military side. There was too much politics involved.
Mm-hmm.
Can't fight a war with politics and military ideas at the same time. I just think it's impossible. Either you go in and you do military wise what you're supposed to do and then leave politics out of it, or you just don't go in at all. And we went in with the idea that we were going to try to save South Korea and remove the Korean North Koreans completely out of the country and stop them from ever doing anything more. Then it got to be a strife between military men and politicians.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt sorry for MacArthur, because MacArthur was a brilliant commander-in-chief of military logistics.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he had to fight politicians back in Washington who didn't like some of his thinking.
Yeah.
And I'm more military thinking, I guess, than a politician. And I just feel we were wrong in doing what we did by not supporting MacArthur more.
Yeah.
I really think that my personal viewpoint is I really believe that we could have, if we had done what MacArthur wanted to do in 1951,
mm-hmm.
We might not even be facing Red China today.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's my understanding that MacArthur wanted to unleash a massive military attack on China with Chiang Kai-shek and the whole gang, and just put China back mm-hmm. as a democratic state. But Truman saw it different and took him out. Yeah.
All right, my next question is, do you feel the Forgotten War title that was placed upon the Korean War after that to this present day really fits the Korean War?
Yeah, Grant. It's not like the Vietnam War. The Korean War was the terminology of the Korean War was a policing action.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't classified as a war at the beginning. It was actually a policing action to try to line the North Koreans up where they should be lined up, and we were going to go in there and be policemen.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first time the UN had really come together in any kind of mass, physical mass, to mm-hmm. repel or to put down any threat of any other countries.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time it ever been done. And there was a lot of games played in the Korean War. It was virtually a policing action, more than anything. However, if you look at all the facts and figures, you'll find that there were as many casualties or more in the Korean War
mm-hmm.
than it was in Vietnam. And that's not talked about today too much.
Yeah.
You don't hear the Korean veterans, and I'm not knocking veterans, period.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't hear of the condemnation by the veterans from the Korean War as you do from the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a forgotten situation. It is a forgotten war. And I think the veterans from the Korean War have been forgotten unjustly. And maybe there should be some recognition for the Korean veterans. I don't know. I'm not asking for anything, but I think there are some that are in main condition today that could have been helped and weren't properly.
Okay, my next question is, the war, what was it like? The food, sleeping, leaving the family behind, what was it like?
Well, when I got into it in June of 1950, Everything happened so quick. Mm-hmm. I was in the Marine Corps. I was an instructor at the PLC school at Quantico, Virginia, Officer Tennis School. And we were pulled out of there momentarily. We were given, actually, we were given from around 10:30 to 11 o'clock in the morning till 1 o'clock in the afternoon that same day to be aboard planes heading for San Diego,
mm-hmm.
Not knowing where we were going.
Yeah.
When we got to San, when we got in the air, they told us we were on our way to Korea with a combat ready force they were putting together in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.